So this month, we are celebrating the different ways that we are responding to God's yes, or that we can respond to God's yes in our lives. And this particular Sunday is about how we are already stewards of our presence, and how we are physically, mentally, fully present in the world each day, or I try to be present and aware each day. And also how we enjoy and use and share our presence with one another. So that's why we call it stewardship of our presence, because stewardship is how we get to use, enjoy, and share all kinds of gifts from God, including our time and involvement and the way that we are present with God and with one another. Now, did you hear in the Jeremiah passage from the Bible, where were the people at that time? Most of the people were not at home. Where were they? Where were they? In Babylon, that's right. Did they want to be there? No, not so much, huh? They were prisoners of war who had been marched across from home all those many miles to a foreign country and were forced to live there and had to figure out a new life there as immigrants or as refugees, we would say. Okay, so where is Jeremiah at that point? Is he with the exiled folks? Does anybody know? Can you guess? No guessers here. My goodness. He's back home in Jerusalem, which was a war-torn place to be with the folks, few folks who had been left behind. So he decided to write a letter to have that personally carried from there to the folks in exile to encourage them and to help them figure out how to be in this new and strange place. So what the prophet Jeremiah wrote to this people, his people, when they were far off then in their physical exile, was to say, live where you are. You're going to be there for a while. Build houses and marry folks from there and have children and find people to marry those children. In other words, it's going to be several generations here. And so allow yourself to get rooted, okay? Seek the welfare, the well-being of the city where I have sent you, God said. Pray on its behalf. Work on its behalf. Because, in part, your welfare is part of its welfare. So do you think that the exiles were willing and eager to do that immediately? What do you think? No! Yeah, we want to go home. It may be in ruins, but it's what we're used to. And here we are on the outside looking in a whole different society and a whole different culture, and mostly we don't want to be here. But the good news comes in some strange forms sometimes, and here was their opportunity to be in a different place and to settle in and see what happened in the midst of that uncertainty. So here's one of the truths that we can claim, or at least let claim us. Wherever we are in our lives, we are already at home in God, where God dwells. Now the Greek word for, and the Hebrew, the Bible words for dwell means to live in one place, to be there, to remain there for a long period of time. So God dwells with us, And we are meant to dwell with God no matter where we are. And we are in this place, this congregation, this town, this country, this world at this point, to care for it and to be present to its strengths and its needs, to seek its well-being and our well-being within it. Now, the thing is, there are plenty of ways in life, maybe even right now, where we can feel like we are exiles, even if this is our own hometown. Can you think of ways that people might feel like they're in exile at a given time? How about if you're lonely? Sometimes that happens even in the midst of other people. It just, you're lonely, right? Or fearful about something? That's not very homey. Any ideas? Yes.
Using a cane.
Using a cane. Mm-hmm. Or a wheelchair or something that kind of separates me in some way from other people. Mm-hmm. Makes it uncomfortable. Any other ideas? How about if some important relationship that I have, maybe with a good friend or a family member, is really strained? I feel estranged. That can make me feel like I'm on the outs and not connected. Yeah. Or if money is tight, trying to figure out how to make ends meet and going from day to day, that can feel like an exile. There are lots of ways that are possible for people. And so where we are, whether we feel exiled or comfortable and at home at the moment, one of the things that we can hold on to is to know that God is present with us in this moment, right now. Not living in the past or the future, but in the present. So there are lots of ways that we can be tempted to live in the past. I keep asking these questions, okay? What are some ways that you think a person might kind of get stuck in the past? How might a person be kind of living more in the past than in the present? Yeah, constantly talking about it and being kind of stuck on that was, you know, those were the glory days, right? Or that was the golden age, even if those days actually weren't all that golden back then. But that's the way we remember it, yeah. Is there somebody? Yes.
The negative side of that being not being able to let go of past regrets.
Yes. Being stuck in those regrets and thinking, if only I had done X, Y, Z, or if only, you know, that one day had been different, and somehow not being able to move on in life past that. Yeah, thank you. There are lots of ways that it's possible to get locked into the past. How about getting locked into the future? Can you think of a way that might work for a person?
Working too much.
Working too much, yeah. And maybe working so hard to be able to achieve, to get to a financial situation or to have some dream fulfilled. Maybe it's thinking, well, when I get to a certain place in life, then I'm going to be happy. Or when I'm rich, I'm going to be happy. Or when I find the perfect partner, things are all going to work out in the rest of my life. Or when the family gets sorted out. And some of the kids or the grandparents or the parents or whatever, you know, come to see the light and everything gets harmonious, then I can kind of relax about things. And it's possible to be losing all of the present moments because I'm busy thinking about, well, when that future time comes, which it may or may not. You know, maybe it's going to be very different from what I think it might be. Maybe we're not really present sometimes because we're always preparing for the future. You know, those of us who like to plan or make decisions or maybe are liking to set things up for a certain aspect of our lives. And I have to admit that some of us like to know where we're going and even where we'll end up before we start. You know, give me a map and tell me where the destination is. Well, Dr. Phil or somebody like that might say, how's that working for you? Not that possible. Okay. Poet Mark Nepo says that in real life, people are more like living jigsaw puzzles, you know, with a lot of beautiful and mysterious and unknown pieces. And each day shows us what a piece or two might be for, where it might go, how it might fit into the big picture. So over time, a picture starts to emerge, but that doesn't happen all at once for most of us. So we realize that what it takes is being present to what God is doing in and around us every day. And that means also figuring out when other people's lives bump up against us or when events bump up against us, how do those pieces fit into the picture? And at least in my life, it ain't easy. It takes some openness to the uncertainty and trust in God, despite what's going on or it to go with the flow of what's going on at the time. To be able to see how the puzzle, the mystery of it all, is coming together, that may take some time. Now, I just got to thinking about that, and I think maybe this is part of what the phrase abundant life means, to explore the fullness of living for God right now. You know, caring deeply, being attentive to what is unfolding, rejoicing in the beauty, or allowing ourselves to be immersed in compassion. Now, usually, I may do that for a moment or two, you know, kind of in the zone, as some people say, when I'm involved with a person soul to soul. Or when I'm in awe of God's creation, often. But the fact is that God's presence is all around us all the time, and it's a matter of waking up and being attentive to what is going on. But God says yes to us, whether we are in those moments of awareness or not. Now, do you think that's good news? Is that good news? Yeah, you bet it is. And that must be part of what John Wesley called prevenient grace. You know, it's God's graciousness toward us, even when we think we're in charge, that we are in charge and not God. And even when it hasn't occurred to us that God is really present with us, and as Pastor Matt says so often, that God is wildly in love with us. That's what the word Emmanuel means when we talk about Jesus Christ as Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. Now, one way that we know that is through all the different covenants or promises that God has made to us. And I wore a couple of covenants here on my stole. This first one is of, you see the rainbow, if you can see it, and the ark. Who was that who built the ark?
Noah,
yes, okay. And the rainbow was the promise, God's promise, that God would never abandon humanity. Okay? That's the unconditional covenant. And this other one is an example of some of the conditional covenants in the Bible. It's meant to be like two stones. What got written on stones back in Moses' day? What was that? The commandments, the Ten Commandments. Yeah. What it's going to take to be able to actually be a faith community with one another, to love God first and to not covet and all those kinds of things, things that we're working on, most of us, trying to get there. Okay, now, all of this relates to what we heard from 2 Timothy. Because in 2 Timothy, Paul, or a follower of Paul, says, do your best to present yourself to God. Now, there are a lot of ways that we can understand that. And one is by being really present in our lives, by showing up with our awareness, by being grateful for the 1,001 things that we have in our lives, not whatever things we don't. In other words, it's a whole lot more than the glass is half full. It's like all of the blessings that God gives and not obsessing about the one thing that I want that isn't here right now. Okay? And also, we can be present in our lives by cherishing the relationships that we have had and the opportunity to relate to someone in this moment, as well as the gift of being in solitude in relationship with God. By noticing the wild creatures all around us and caring for them and learning lessons from those animals among us. And by enjoying and sustaining and nourishing our bodies as God's temple, where God dwells. Remember the word dwell? Lives long time and deeply rooted. Now, we present ourselves to God also by the way that we live, by seeing and showing God's presence in other people's lives, being present in their lives when needed or when it's helpful. As the Bible says, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. By helping other people in need and letting them help us when we're in need as well. It's a mutual kind of community thing. And not being just for our tribe, however we might define that. Now, how might you define a person's tribe?
Family.
Family. Okay. We're family and you aren't, right? It implies that there's somebody who isn't, okay? Other ways? Pardon?
Our country.
Yeah, if that means I love my country and everybody else don't count at all. Okay. What was that? Our social cliques. Yeah. Sometimes we may get critical of students in school who have, you know, this special clique that they go with and so forth. Do we as adults ever have cliques? Do churches ever have cliques? Oh boy, we got to deal with it wherever we are, huh? So somehow looking beyond the tribe and claiming our connections and being present to one another. Being present in our lives with whatever and whomever we live in practical ways. And being present here and now to this earth, sustaining it so it continues to be a zone of life for all that live upon it. So God says yes to us in life by being present to us and by leading us forward in life, sometimes leading us to places where we do feel in exile for now. But we can be at home with God wherever we are, whether we feel in exile or whether we feel comfortable and at home in this world and this time. We can respond to God's yes to us by being present in this amazing gift of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.